Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up their voices, and the skies pound their big drums.
It's good. So I have this verse. It's a verse that I've been tracking on for the last several, well, actually a couple months, because I've been traveling quite a bit, as you know. And I am so glad that season is behind me. I'm actually really glad. I did not anticipate this fall being quite so intense, and I'm grateful for it. It's been a really great season. It ended with a bang. I went elk hunting this week, and I brought home some meat for the freezer, so that was great. But I'm back for a while here, and I'm looking forward to just settling into some rhythm, into the holidays, which it's so crazy to think about Christmas already. For those of you who may not know, we do a Christmas Eve service here. Absolutely love it. It's a highlight of my year. And I would like to invite all of you to bring your family and friends if they're visiting Christmas Eve this year. But that being said, I want to go ahead and take this verse. It's 2 Corinthians 13:14, and I'll just go ahead and read it. It's been a springboard for us to have a bit of a series on these specific prayers, actually. It's a prayer of Paul to the church in Corinth. It's his finishing words in that book. And it says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Be with you all." And so those four dynamics, the withness of God, I started with that. Then we moved into the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is where I'm at right now. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read something to us. I'm going to completely nerd out on you for a few minutes with Bible verses and concepts, and then I'm going to shift into a few stories. Okay? So that's how I see it right now. And I'd like to read out of this book called God Hunger. I was given this book. There was a men's gathering that I was a part of a few weeks back. And this was a book that each of us received. And it's basically these daily devotionals. I wanted to read out of day 6. Pretty short. And it's called Hunger for God. If you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world, your soul is stuffed with small things, and there's no room for the great. That's a quote from John Piper. We all have a spiritual appetite as part of our makeup as human beings. In fact, this yearning for spiritual fulfillment is a constant in our daily life. The question is, where is our hunger being directed? If we are not hungry for the presence and the purpose of God, then you can be sure that you are hungry for something else. People chase after many things in response to this hunger: financial security, career success, the praise and affirmation of others, relationships, and more. But only Jesus can impart the abundance of life we really crave. The more hungry for God we are, the more alive we are. The revivalist John G. Lake said that the most powerful prayer any Christian can pray is, "God, make me hungry for you." We are all the product of our spiritual appetite. There is a healthy restlessness that each one of us can embrace. The restlessness that longs for heaven, for a deeper knowledge of God's presence. The restlessness that marks us out as nothing more than pilgrims passing through this temporary place and heading toward our true destination. Bill Johnson writes, never stop looking for his, quote, new thing, like the frontier that we had talked about a month or so ago. The moment that we think we have arrived, we have failed. The moment we lose that hunger to travel, to find him, the willingness to wait in line to hear him, a humility to encounter him, even in a package that might offend us, we're in danger of missing his next move. Wise men still travel. Stay hungry for God. Lord, I just want to thank you for the invitation that we have to hunger after your presence. Lord, it's more than an invitation. It's actually part of our spiritual DNA when Christ entered into our life. What shifted for us in our new creation was a hunger for God that is a honing device. It's like our tractor beam. So, Lord God, I just want to thank you that this morning you have something for us, and I ask, Lord, that you would speak. And anything that is not of you, Lord, I pray that it would be like chaff that gets caught up in the wind and just blows away. But let the seeds that bear fruit remain. And I pray that it would all take root in the good soil of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we all know about the sacrificial system of atonement in the Old Testament. This isn't a complete departure. It's actually going to tie into something here. There were actually five different sacrifices that the people of the Old Testament, the people of Israel, were instructed through the Bible in the books of Leviticus and so forth that they were to participate in, and they were to make sacrifices. And a lot of these sacrifices were going to require the death of an animal of some sort, like sacrificing, for example, a burnt offering, which was an act of atonement. That was one. The second one was a grain offering, which was a voluntary act of devotion to God. The third offering was a fellowship offering, which is an act of, it's really interesting, it's an act of thanksgiving and goodwill towards others in the presence of God. We'll talk more about that one in a second. There was a sin offering, that's the fourth one, and that was to purify oneself for re-entering into the presence of God. So there was this sin offering. And then the fifth one was a guilt offering. And this offering was to make restitution or payment for one's sin. Now, we all know that this sacrificial system of the Old Testament was the beginning. It was like a means by which, you know, people could start to begin a restoration process in their relationship between God and humanity, really. But ultimately, we know that this system was inadequate, that no one can repay the debt of life that was owed until Jesus Christ defeated death once and for all. And that's what we just celebrated. In fact, you need to know the backstory of why we did communion this morning. As I was upstairs polishing up some notes and thinking through this and praying through this, and it just kept coming back to me. Do communion this morning. I tried to talk God out of it. I didn't want to get back out in that snow, drive across to the city market, buy the bread. I'm just being honest with you. I was like, no, we'll do it next week. And then it was persistence of the Holy Spirit. It was almost like he was saying, I'm going to keep asking until you do it, or you just go through church and then you know how you're going to feel later, because I've done it plenty. And so about 10 minutes till 10, I came down to the worship team. I was like, hey, let's do this. Now, I'm not exactly sure why the Lord wants this to be a part of our gathering this morning, other than to say that the prayers that you've prayed with each other, the remembrance, the reorientation of your heart towards the sacrifice of Jesus is key for us. And I would say that the times that I spent praying with people, tremendous honor to be praying with people this morning. I really felt I experienced the power of Jesus Christ towards you. And so, again, I will just reiterate, whoever got prayer for healing, be healed in the name of Jesus. It's there for you. So ultimately, we know that this system of sacrifice was inadequate in the Old Testament. Let me read out of Hebrews 10, just a few verses here. Sacrifices and offerings and the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, God, you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which were offered according to the law. This is Hebrews 10:8. So it just kind of makes it clear, like, this wasn't God's best. He made a provision. It wasn't his ultimate best for humanity. Then he said, behold, I will come to do your will. This is speaking of Jesus. He takes away the first order and establishes the second. Takes away the first order, which is the old covenant, and establishes the second, which is what we know as the new covenant, in verse 10. And by this, we will have a sacrifice through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10:10, powerful verse. Remember that verse. Verse 11, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But he, having offered one sacrifice for the sins of all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time onward until all of his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. I love that. Verse 14, for by one sacrifice he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. After saying this, he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Speaking of the days after Christ's resurrection and the ascension, says the Lord, I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their minds I will write them. Then he said, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is forgiveness of these things, there is no longer a need for the offering for sin. So the fulfillment of every righteous requirement was met in the offering of Jesus Christ once for all. That's the point. And you and I were encouraged in Romans 12:1. This is an interesting dynamic here, because we're encouraged in Romans 12:1 to present your bodies as a holy and as a living holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So even though we know that every righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, we're encouraged in Romans 12 to present our bodies as a sacrifice. So this is where I don't want you to be confused. It's like, wait a minute, I thought everything was established in Jesus, and yet we're being told in Romans to sacrifice of ourselves, to actually allow our bodies to be a living and holy sacrifice. And I would believe that the ability to present yourselves is because you are holy and you are acceptable before God. And as we have read in Romans 10, or Hebrews 10, once for all, you know, he sacrificed everything, and he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So this is me geeking out on you guys. You enjoying this? I just really think that the power of the word needs to come in. Like, we can't just, like, talk around it. Like, I'd rather just sit here and read the Bible to you than me come up with some clever thing, although I do like to come up with clever things every so often. But I believe then that the sacrifices that we're invited to be, like, if my body is going to be a sacrifice, then there is an embodiment of something that I am encouraged to be from Romans 12:1. And I believe that the sacrifices in this age of the new covenant are the voluntary sacrifices that were listed in those five sacrifices, because only two of those were voluntary. And the two that were voluntary in the list of the five sacrifices that were laid out in the scripture for the Old Testament, the two that were voluntary was the grain offering and the fellowship offering. So I believe that these acts were worshipful. I believe that they were acts of, like, thanksgiving, and they were not offerings for atonement or payment of sin. Okay, you getting that with me? That there was this thing about the grain offering. Now, we know what yeast represents in the scripture. You guys know what yeast is? The leaven. What does it represent in the Bible? Sin. Okay? And while that may be true, I do not believe that the grain offering is me offering something in place of my sin, for example, but I actually draw more from Jesus, who says, I am the bread of life. So for me, for my physical body to be sacrificed as an act of worship, just like Jesus gave himself up for the many, there's an invitation for me to voluntarily give of myself. If I am like that bread, if I am like that grain that I can offer out. And so that can represent a few things for us, but I think that's at the heart of it. That in the same way, you and I can voluntarily offer up ourselves for the sake of others. Not as an atonement, not because we're trying to earn God's favor or appease an angry God or make up for the sins of last week, but because this is what we get to do as an act of worship, because he has made us holy, because he is perfecting us who are being sanctified. This is our response. But the point this morning has more to do with the second one, which is known as the fellowship offering. Remember the prayer of Paul. He says, I pray that you would have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's kind of the point in this whole message here. And we read in Leviticus 8, and I will not read out of Leviticus 7, but we get kind of a gist of it. And the gist is this: the purpose of a fellowship offering was to consecrate a meal between two or more people before God and to share that meal together in fellowship of peace and commitment to each other's future prosperity. I'm going to say that again. This is kind of at the core of what a fellowship offering was and is. It is a consecrated meal, which means that you have purpose behind it. It's set apart. It's something with some intention. You're like intending something when you gather together with people. And so two or more people coming together before God, and they share a meal together in fellowship of peace and commitment to each other's future prosperity. We're all about to participate in a fellowship offering in a couple of Thursdays. We call that Thanksgiving. Seriously. And so as an aside, the word fellowship in this actually comes from the root word for shalom, which is peace. So you might have heard of somebody saying like a peace offering, giving a peace offering. So it loses its context because that implies that there was like this broken relationship and there was some strife between two people, and now you're going to extend like a peace offering. Like I remember this guy, he was on my back deck in Kansas when I lived south of Kansas City. And he threw a stick at a squirrel, and he killed the squirrel, and he felt terrible about that. He was not a killer. This guy was very peaceful. And he felt so bad that he left a peace offering for all the other squirrels. He just left it on my deck. And I was like, what's that? He goes, that's my peace offering. So it's a little different. A little bit different. Okay, but we get the word fellowship offering. It comes from that root for peace, but it's also translated, the word fellowship is also translated communion. And which you could take the word and break it down, it's common union. So in Christ, we have common union with each other. There's one spirit that unifies us. And so when we have a shared meal together, like we just did, that's a fellowship offering. We've just experienced a fellowship offering together. You're going to experience that this Thursday. Maybe you have times where you set apart. And I think when we get a hold of this, the fresh perspective on fellowship offering, it might change the way we approach like shared meals with each other. Because we're doing this, inviting the very presence of God. And so it's the only offering in the Old Testament that was shared by family and friends and the worshiper himself. All the other offerings were left. And the worshiper who left the offering did not participate in eating anything of that offering, except for the fellowship offering. So I think, it just brings us to this point where everybody who participates in a fellowship offering is blessed. everybody gets their fill and everybody's blessed. And it's what Acts 2:42 is referring to when it tells us that the believers were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. It wasn't just communion, but they were breaking bread together and they were experiencing a consistent fellowship offering with one another. And I think that's a way for Romans 12:1 to come alive for us. It's not just like I'm giving of myself as an act of worship towards others, like the grain offering. It's also I'm choosing to share the abundance that God has given to me with others, and we get to celebrate with thanksgiving, and we get to celebrate this prospect of God blessing each other's lives. We get to do that with each other, and that's a fellowship offering. Now, let me shift into a different gear here, and I want to talk about fellowship with Holy Spirit. I love the sound of family. No, seriously. Yeah. Tiff, I can't help myself. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make an announcement. Tiff and I are going to be grandparents. Yeah! Thank you. And one day our house will be filled with the sounds of children crying, and we'll love it. As much as I love it here. Again, right. So for those of you who may be wondering, yes, Nick and Danny are pregnant. And so it's pretty early in the process, so be praying for them. There's always that fear, that stress that comes with the early pregnancy. So be praying for them if you would. Thank you. All right, so let me shift gears and talk about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In light of everything that I've just shared, we know that there's a great mystery that has been revealed, and Colossians 1:27 tells us what it is. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. You know that Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's an identification of Jesus as the anointed one. And John the Baptist actually testified of this as he witnessed the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus after he was baptized. That's why John went into the wilderness to baptize, because he was told, the one that you see the dove descend upon, you will know that that is the anointed one. That is the Messiah. And so it was a fulfillment of that longing for John to know and for his cousin to come and get baptized and for the Holy Spirit to... That's when John shifted gears and he was all of a sudden like, there he is. I've been spending my entire life preparing the way for that one, Jesus. He is the anointed one. He's the Messiah. And so, Jesus in you is the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. That's the mystery that's been revealed, that Christ is in you. And he is your hope of glory. So, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit in you, is the imminent presence of God in you. Listen to Jesus from the book of Revelation. This is going to start to tie a little bow for us. Look, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. The Holy Spirit wants to have consistent, continual fellowship meals with us. Ways where we are all nourished. You know that he is nourished by you. Like there's a longing in his heart that is fulfilled by you. And we have a hunger, don't we? I mean, that's what I read. There's this innate hunger that we have, and he wants to fulfill that hunger as we have communion or common union together in that place where? Of your heart. Opening your life to Jesus Christ is the beginning of a lifelong fellowship with Holy Spirit. It is his fellowship offering. And you're invited to enjoy peace that comes from communing with him. So remember the definition. This meal between two or more parties where God before God, where a shared meal together in fellowship of peace and a commitment to each other's future prosperity. And a commitment to each other's future prosperity. You know that prayer, you know, I pray that your soul would prosper. This is where prosperity originates, is in the communion that we have, in the fellowship that we have with Holy Spirit. It's the only place our souls can truly prosper. Christ in you is the guaranteed deposit of your inheritance. There is an inheritance. There is a future prosperity that is coming, and it comes in the here and now. I believe that. And it comes in incremental steps in the future, and it comes throughout eternity. And I believe that there's wave after wave after wave of discovery of this inheritance for you. Fellowship offering that you share with the presence of the Holy Spirit is your hope of glory. I echo David. You know, I've read the Psalms quite a bit, and there's this one that kind of puzzled me for a while where he says, "Please, God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me." And I've echoed that prayer, not because I was afraid that he would abandon me, but because I've discovered the sustaining power of his life in this jar of clay. Like, it's not like, please, you know, it's not like that sort of fretful, striving prayer of don't ever leave me. I don't know what I would ever do. It's more like this. It's more like, I acknowledge that because of your presence in my life, I have hope. I acknowledge because of your presence in my life and the fellowship that we share, Holy Spirit, I experience things that I could not ever imagine I would have ever experienced apart from you. You need to know that it's true. So allow me to take Galatians 5:16, which says, okay, it's just real simple. It's really been a life imprint on me. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Let me set the stage for a few stories here. I want to just share with you that the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life has been the greatest adventure into the kingdom of God. Absolutely. And so about 14 years ago, I worked with Vail Mountain Resorts up at Breckenridge. I was a snowboard instructor. And it was a Friday, and there was a school program that I worked with that at noon they left me and they went and played, and I was set free so I could just go ride. And it was a Friday afternoon that was storming, and I remember a friend was up there, and he was with one of my daughters, Brianna. And it was towards the end of the afternoon when I hit a tree snowboarding. And we had been in the steep and deep all afternoon, and we were just going through this little section of the mountain that was just going from one trail to the next. And there was a small stump that had been buried in fresh snow, and it caught the edge of my snowboard, and it launched me into this tree. And I was unconscious for 7 hours. I had a TBI, so I had this traumatic brain injury. I had a lacerated kidney, adrenal gland, broken ribs, chip in my elbow that still bothers me every so often, a broken tooth. So let's just say I got smacked around pretty good that day in an incident. And so part of my recovery was a road trip several months later. It was probably, that happened in February. And in May, I decided, hey, I'm going to go up to Redding, California to a church up there called Bethel. And I'm going to go to a leadership advance. And this began a journey with me of several what I call walkabouts with the Holy Spirit. So you need to know that this was the beginning of me cultivating fellowship with the Holy Spirit on a whole new level. And the catalyst for that was a major disruption in my life. Pain. A shakening of sorts. And we know that, God doesn't waste a thing. And in his kindness, he invited me after the conference, why don't you take your backpack with you, have everything you need to live out of that thing with food and fuel and water purification and everything for about 6-7 days. Okay, great. So I went to the conference. Tiff was on board with this. This was the first of several what I call walkabouts or chasing the wild goose. And if you know anything about the Celtic ideas of spirituality, they referred to the Holy Spirit as the wild goose. And so I was going to chase the wild goose for about a week, which meant that after the conference, I took a deep breath and I stepped out the threshold of that building at the church there in Bethel. And I said, "Where to, Holy Spirit?" And it was that unscripted. In that particular time, and I won't go through all the details of every single one of them, but I will say that there was a history of about five of these walkabouts that happened once a year for 5 years. And they were all pretty much set up similar. Some of them were more exotic than others. Like this one, the first one, he took me into the Havasupai Indian Reservation in Arizona, where I backpacked down into the Travertine waters and did some cliff diving, which was actually part of my healing process because fear had gripped my heart after getting whacked around like that. And so here I am. All these people are hooting and hollering and having a blast, jumping into this beautiful crystal water. And I'm standing at the edge of that cliff going 1, 2, 2.5, 2 3/4, 2 5/8, you know, how many fractions can I remember? Because I really don't want to do this. And finally, after jumping in and just the exhilaration of that and just doing laps as often as I wanted to, I got back into the Indian reservation and there was this little general store. And it was so busy that no one noticed that there was a CD skipping up there on the shelf. And it was a CD that was playing a song from Creedence Clearwater Revival. And it just kept skipping. And it just kept skipping. I was like, man, that is so annoying. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, "You better listen." And it was a song from Creedence Clearwater Revival that the Lord began to just speak to me. I'm just like, whoa, this is crazy. Like how unconventional and how unreligious and how fun. And so the second walkabout led me into the canyon lands. And he gave me this verse that says, "I will give you treasures hidden in dark places." And after the first night of seeing a dark apparition and having the bejesus scared out of me and the hair on the back of my neck freaked out, and all of a sudden now I'm on this journey of discovering aspects of my own heart with the Holy Spirit where he and I are talking to each other like we would talk to each other over coffee. And he begins to speak to me about deep things of my own heart and how resistant I am to the things that are mystifying to my own heart, like the inconsistencies and the brokenness and the things like that. And I'm constantly pulling away from it. And he's inviting me, "Why don't you step towards it and let's find out the treasure in that dark place." The third one was when I went to Australia and I did a wedding in Australia. And I thought I was going to ride a BMW motorcycle through the outback. You know, how cool would that be? And then after I figured out I couldn't afford it because of all the insurance you need, because the guy behind the counter was literally like this, "Trust me, mate, a kangaroo will try to kill you." I figured I better not do that one. So I hopped on a plane and I went down to Tasmania. And I thought, man, I'm going to do this track. I'm going to do this trail that goes all the way across the island of Tasmania. It'd take about 5 days. That'd be awesome. I got to the gear shop to buy the fuel because I couldn't fly with that. And the guy's like, "Tell me about your gear." And I was like, "I've got this tarp. I've been sleeping under a tarp for like 20 years. He goes, "Oh, you don't have a mesh between you and the great outdoors?" I was like, "No." He goes, "Have you ever heard of a jack jumper?" I was like, "No." He goes, "Trust me, mate. The jack jumper will try to kill you." I don't know what it is about Australia, but there's plenty of things that want to try to kill you out there. So I decided, okay, so I'm dejected. I'm thinking, man, this is taking my life in my own hands. And I guess I'd be okay with that. Holy Spirit, what do you think? And he didn't tell me. He was just kind of quiet. Again, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I ended up down on the wharf, beautiful ships. And there was this 1800s wooden tall ship, a schooner. And there was a banner hanging off the side, and it had a phone number. And so I grabbed that number, and I went over to the payphone, and I called him, and I was like, "Hey, tell me about your boat." And I saw the number on there. "Are you guys going to sail out anytime soon?" And they're like, "Yeah, tomorrow morning at 7. I was like, "Do you have room for another?" And they did. And so I went sailing down the Southeast Cape, me and the Holy Spirit. And the boat was under the command of Captain Sarah, who was transgender, who used to be Captain Henry. And all of a sudden, I'm in this microcosm of humanity, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me sincerely about the longing of people's heart to experience love and to express love. And he reminded me of a Chesterton quote where he says, "We're all together in a life raft, and we owe one another a great debt of loyalty." And I figure if I'm not going to be part of the answer, the legitimate answer of how am I going to experience love and how am I going to express love, then I'm kind of missing it here in this whole Christian thing. And so that was the fourth one, I think. And then the fifth one, I was packed and ready to go. And I stepped out on my doorstep at 747 Pinyon Ridge Drive, and I stepped out there with my backpack, and I'm feeling pretty salty, like, yeah, here we go. And the Holy Spirit says, "I want you to turn around. I want you to go back into that house, and I want you to spend the week in the house." That is not you, God. It was. And after the first 2 days of being a baby and pouting, I realized that there was something deep that the Lord wanted to do. And it was related to this idea that in my perceived limitation, like I felt like, you know, when I was a kid, the fence in the backyard was to keep the dog in, not me. I would jump that fence and I'd run, and I knew I could play until the streetlights came on. And so here I was feeling like that little kid with my chin pressed up against the top of the fence, like, can I leave? Can I leave? No, no, no. And then all of a sudden the Lord is like unfolding this beautiful, like, I guess just revelation, fresh ideas and understanding of his tremendous gift that I have in my family. And that was the last walkabout that I went on. But I would say this, that still to this day, that type of fellowship and intimate conversational relationship with Holy Spirit is active. That was simply a catalyst that helped create something of a new norm in my life. And I'm sharing this because I realize that my story is my story. I can't impose it on you. And if you don't experience God the same way, that's fine. I'm hoping that we can all grow in our connection and intimacy with Holy Spirit as we have fellowship with him. But I can say that I still experience the same kind of intense leading from Holy Spirit. In the past couple of years, it's been during elk hunting season. I'll finish up with this story. 2 years ago, I went hunting, and let me just say that I went on a Wednesday, which the opening season like started on Saturday. So I felt, again, kind of reminiscent of that. I'm raring to go. I'm eager to go. And here I am. It's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You're here at the house doing work and all that kind of stuff. And I'm anxious. And my partner couldn't fly in until Tuesday. And so we geared up on Wednesday and we go and we set up a camp. And I leave the camp at it was about noon on Wednesday afternoon, and I hike up to this new area that I'd never been at before, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, "Don't go up the shoulder of that ridge. Go down the valley and pop up at those trees." And I did. And across the valley, on the other hillside, about 300 yards away, was an elk. And I brought that elk home. And in an hour and a half of hunting, I had my elk down. The next afternoon, it's a four-hour drive away, I was at home. And then I went back because I brought the elk home, but I also grabbed my set of snow chains because my buddy who had towed a trailer out there was driving in a vehicle without snow chains. And up there where we go is kind of crazy. And so I brought these chains back to him on Friday, set up his chains on his truck, decide Saturday I'm going to go hunting. Long story short, we go hunting on Saturday. And I was within 40 yards, not even. I mean, it was like from here to that wall to an elk. And I took a shot at this because I had a bull tag and a cow tag. I took a shot at this cow. And when I went over to see where she was hopefully going to be laying down, there was a twig that was swinging on the branch that I had just shot. Couldn't see it through the scope. The bullet hit that twig, deflected, and it nicked her underneath. And she was dropping little droplets of blood. And so for 5 hours, until she went down into the sage and it got pitch black and I couldn't see and she was coagulating, lost her. That night I got home in the camper and I opened the app on my Bible and Okay, get this. This is the verse that it says. It says, it is good for the heart to be established by grace and not by foods. What? I didn't even remember having it on that verse. It says, for there's no profit for those who are occupied with meats. And now I know that it's not talking about elk hunting. I know that it's actually talking about the contrast of living according to grace or the sacrificial system of the law, that kind of like meats and foods and all that kind of stuff. I know that, and that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and he's contrasting for me the difference between fellowship with the Holy Spirit and living from that place of grace, where even though you feel like you're 4 days late, it only takes an hour and a half to get your elk down. Or the striving, because I have to be honest with you, right before I pulled the trigger on Saturday at that cow that was only 40 yards away, I heard the Holy Spirit say, you don't have to take this shot. Bam! You talk about striving for 5 hours trying to find this animal. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up with this. The point of this is not about me. The point of this is not about my stories and trying to like pump up anything other than, can you please hear that you're invited into a fellowship with the Holy Spirit? These examples that I've given you are just a way of putting a spotlight on this invitation. And I think that there's this thing about the fellowship offerings that is really key for us, that we have a place, you have a place with the Lord that's personal and it's yours. It's in the, you can call it the secret garden, you can call it the inner place, you can call it your interior life with God. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but I'm telling you right now that there's a meal there for you. And not only has the Holy Spirit entered into your life and desires to share that fellowship meal with you, but he's also prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So with that, I want to just kind of bring this to close. This idea about him preparing a table for you. He's the one we feast on. He's the one we've just feasted on. And so I'm just asking the Lord to help us right now hear the invitation, orient our hunger. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now. Yep. I want to live my life very much like the Wednesday hunt and not the Saturday hunt. I want to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit and allow that verse to ring out where we could let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. There's this fellowship with the Holy Spirit that brings so much fruit, that brings so much strength and hope and prosperity of soul and so much goodness, that if we divert our attention towards the scraps that this world offers us, oh my goodness, are we selling ourselves short. So Father, I just want to pray now, just as your peace comes into this room. Come, Lord. Would you rekindle that interior place that we have with you? Many of us, we've been harsh to our own souls for so long, we don't even know how to go back into that space. So I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, Comforter, Counselor, Healer, bring restoration and create for us a consecrated place in the interior world of our relationship with you. May we have fellowship with you, not simply by the exterior manifestations that we might experience of your presence, but more importantly for us, Lord, this abiding place where we can have communion with your peace. where you speak to us. You speak our language. You communicate clearly, even in unconventional, unreligious ways. And you invite us to be renewed in our hope. So I am asking for this consecrated place to be sealed now by the power of the Holy Spirit for each person. And I pray that any time and any place that you set your heart with intention to have a fellowship offering with the Holy Spirit, that you would encounter him. That he would speak to you, that you would be encouraged, that you would be strengthened in your inner man. I bless you with that. More, Lord. More, Lord. I just feel right now that our hunger is being brought back into alignment. For some of you, your hunger is being brought back into alignment. The hope that you placed in other things that have left you wanting is now being reoriented back to Holy Spirit. I bless you in that. I bless the yes in your heart for Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the things you're doing here, God. I trust you with every person here. Thank you that they are in your love and in your care. Thank you for your commitment to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.